I'm going to go with the Mother's Day morning message. I taught her everything she don't know. Well, look at you. You look pretty fancy there. You got suit, coat, tie. And no, you're fine. Look good. Luke chapter 2. Verse 34, 35, then we'll go to some other places. This is not a popular thought amongst modern Christianity. It's the suffering of a mother or people who suffered in the Bible. Okay, Luke chapter 2. This is the eighth day when Jesus, after his birth, he's being circumcised. And a prophet named Simeon gave some prophecies to Joseph and his mother, the mother of Jesus Christ, and then Anna the prophetess came. But notice verse 33, 34, 35. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yet a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand this. Help us to understand that the sufferings that this life does bring, and especially because of a believer in Jesus Christ, and help us to accept this idea, these thoughts, help us to be faithful to your words, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul. Smallest books, and you'll never see a book written by a mother whose son was a serial killer. My son that I knew. You won't find those things. And so this is a suffering of Mary, okay, the mother of Jesus Christ. You see how precise the King James Bible is. Joseph and his mother, not father and mother. Okay, the new translations do change that. So the sufferings of a mother. There's an African president years ago that he, on Mother's Day, he celebrated it by executing every son that committed a crime against his mother. That's an unusual way of taking care of that, isn't it? But suffering. I want to run several places. Try first 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This topic is a forbidden topic in contemporary churches. This topic you'll never hear on Christian television. They're too busy trying to build a kingdom. And this topic of suffering is like eating broccoli without butter, salt, ranch dressing, cheese, olive oil. You know, you go to a restaurant and you get that broccoli soup. It ain't broccoli soup. It's cheesy soup with the day-old broccoli sprinkled in. Usually what that is. It's no good without the cheese and all that other stuff. And so this idea of suffering, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, usually when you hear preachers preach at special conferences, they try to tell about all the positive things to excite the young people, the young men, to get called to the ministry. Paul has a little bit different method. Paul says, you want to get called to the ministry? Let me start describing it for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. And then one of the seven times this phrase is found in the New Testament, we would not, brethren, Have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life, and so forth. Suffering. Okay, this is a description of the ministry. This entire letter is about the ministry. Okay, as far as suffering. We Americans have been pretty pampered. And when you're pampered, your suffering level obviously drops, meaning you can't take as much as some believers in Romania, North Korea, Saudi Arabia, or like the believers in the Sudanese, the Christian 41-year-old mother of two girls and her cousin, 35 years old, where they were brought to the town square and beheaded. And the news media and the United Nations are not going to say a thing about it. Not a thing. So this idea of suffering and suffering on earth is a thought that we will only desire for at the judgment seat. None of us want to desire for it down here. I mean, that's just being honest. But at the judgment seat of Christ, when we're in line waiting for our turn at the judgment seat, and there's a believer that got beheaded for Jesus Christ, if she's standing next to me, I'm moving down. I'm going to get down in the paper cut section. Okay, well, how'd you suffer for Christ? Well, the air conditioner went out a couple of times. Okay, I'm going to go down to that section, make me feel better about myself. But this idea of suffering, 2 Corinthians, that's what the ministry is about. Yes, there are some great joys of seeing people get saved, growing in grace, watching them grow. That is the greatest blessing of all of the ministry. Plus, seeing people's eyes light up when they understand the Bible, that's a great joy. But there's also headaches and heartaches. Okay, and this suffering that goes on just in life. Suffering is not desired on earth, but one will be glad in heaven if we did it. We'll be glad about it then. It produces experience, and experience produces hope. Okay, if you would, go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Remember, when we get to the back of the Bible, we're dealing closer to the end of time. The famous words, the end. The famous words, last days, found 8 times in the Bible. Okay, and we'll find them in Hebrews 1, verse 2, James 5, verse 3, 2 Peter 3, verse 3. And then Paul does mention it in 2 Timothy, but then he pushes it to the future tense. 1 Peter 4, verse 1, "For much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." Okay, arm yourself with the same mind. "For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." That's obviously Jesus Christ, verse 1. "That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." Then if we drop down to verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." A lot of times when people go through trouble, "I don't know why this happened." Well, it's because you're a person living in a wicked world. Not putting blame on you or anybody, but that's just how it is. And then the oxymoron, or the exact opposite of what our flesh wants to do, verse 13. Okay, when we suffer, he says, "Rejoice. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." See, that's when we'll really be joyful about our suffering. "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as a evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." I heard on multiple occasions of guys in jail when I visited some of them who were in jail for usually a DUI or drugs, and they would say something like, I understand what Job went through. I looked at him and I said, I don't think you do. Okay, and so, but there's still suffering there. Okay, suffering should draw us closer to Christ. So I just want to give you three thoughts about this idea of suffering, or people who suffered, or like Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, who suffered. And probably the most important thing we need to recognize is that trouble or tribulation is not evidence of wrongdoing. I mean, that's the biggest thing we need to understand. That doesn't prove, okay, if you're going through a bad time, trouble, suffering, I mean bad time, I mean your life's dream of a happy marriage is not panning out, that doesn't mean you've done wrong. It's not evidence of wrongdoing. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Often it's evidence of right doing. Philippians 1, 27. Okay, and so he says, Paul says this in verse 27 of chapter 1. Oh, let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast on one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God.